And welcome back to another episode of the J-Pod Boncast. This is season 3, episode 4. I'm calling it No OD NY campaign, and that stands for No Overdose and New York campaign. So today I got a very special guest. We have a returning guest, our third time. We have Ryan Thorson, 3-peat Carson. What is going on, man?
Yo, dude. How's it going, J-Bone? It's great to talk to you, man.
Pretty well. And you've brought a friend on today, correct?
I have. I brought Nikki No OD NY campaign.
What's I love it. Everybody? Yeah, what's going on, Nikki? It's your first time on the pod. How you doing?
Hell yeah, I'm doing good. It's an honor to be on the pod. I am still pretty far behind, but I'm definitely a big fan of the J-Pod Bonecast.
We appreciate that.
For a while.
Yeah, I love it. Ryan, he's been an active, guest and listener as well. He's heard some episodes. Ryan, since the last time we talked on the pod, anything new? We talked right before the elections, actually.
Oh, yeah. So kind of what I'm doing now is pretty much entirely involved because of that last election. So
awesome.
For the past couple of years, I've been working in like education policy and stuff like that. And I just like worked on this campaign with Senator Chuck Schumer on student loan debt forgiveness. And so kind of like as that was like getting off the ground, I had this new opportunity to work with a couple of organizations that work in drug policy, actually, that were interested in getting a campaign to bring overdose prevention centers to New York State. So this summer, I'm going to be walking from New York City to Buffalo over the course of the month of July to get Governor Cuomo to hold up on this promise that he made to activists in 2018.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've already started sharing likes on our Twitter as well, J-Pod Bonecast on Twitter. So just check that out. They started to GoFundMe and everything like that. I love this idea. I think it's amazing. Nikki, you're all...
I'm going to be walking with Ryan. We're also putting together a bunch of events to help support the GoFundMe.
It's gonna be a sick summer. We got a lot on the calendar.
It's a lot. That's why I was asking. I was like, this is amazing because this is the first time that my listeners are hearing Nikki. So, you know, we want to like kind of meet you and everything like that and get a sense of your relationship to Ryan. So how did you guys first meet?
We met that Pratt. We were both in the writing program. We probably first like formally met at like Annie's.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our friend Annie would have readings at her apartment every month, and we would basically all go there and
read poems, yeah.
Something.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, that's beautiful. Ryan, our alma mater, Colonel Spellman, I'm actually on the committee that's doing a 10-year reunion right now.
So
we're planning on having it on September 11th from 6 to 10 at the Water Club. So if anybody is interested, $50 at the Water Club. Obviously, probably have to be class of 2011. So I know this doesn't pertain to you or anything like that. But yeah,
I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you.
Didn't get to have ours, because of the whole pandemic situation.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We actually got on this because at first I thought it was just going to be a lost cause. But then, awesome. We had the help of Jimmy Leonard and Kat Falcone. So shout out them.
Shout out. How's Jimmy Leonard doing?
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. Yeah, very well.
Back.
Yeah, Jimmy's the man. I actually got to party with him. We went to Marina Bay and tested it out. And players in Rockland. Shout out.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so not to get off track, my bad. Like, we're talking about
Jimmy Leonard.
Yeah, bro, hell yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of my listeners are Cardinal Spellman alums, so this is great, you know. All right, so, Ryan, we've been talking about this whole thing right now that, you're going to do for the walk. Besides GoFundMe, is there anything that we can do, donating online? Is there anything locally we could do? Or I know sharing on social media really helps.
Yeah, so I mean, sharing on social media is like a huge thing. I mean, we've got some really great graphic designers that are kind of putting together like infographics and stuff like that, because, you know, it is kind of a controversial issue. So we've been trying to figure out ways that we can best kind of represent the issue and break it down to people. So really kind of spreading awareness is super, super helpful on something like this. And I mean, it's opioid addiction is something that's touched just about everybody I know's life growing up on the South Shore of Massachusetts. So, you know, I mean, I just kind of assume that, you know, it's something that resonates with most people. And so I'd say, you know, public education is big, kind of figuring out, you know, who candidates are that support these types of facilities. Because, I mean, at this point, when we're losing people at record numbers now from the heroin epidemic, you know, we really got to bring out some new ideas, frankly, to address the epidemic. And so I think that, like, just talking to your friends about it, spreading awareness, and, you know, if you can donate to the campaign, it really, every dollar really goes a long way for something like this, where we're like dealing, where we have people that are working on media angles for this. We've got people that are walking. We need supplies. So, I mean, any amount of donation is a huge, huge help.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, how serious has this problem gotten over time? Like, has anything changed within the past year? No, this is why.
So, I mean, so I think, like, in general, you know, the main issue is that people have been very isolated over the past year during the pandemic, and people have been, you know, really having to face their demons in a different way than they're used to. I mean, a lot of people that I've spoke to that have, like, relapsed into heroin use during the pandemic, it's because they were, you know, experiencing what we were all feeling during the pandemic, which was, you know, extreme isolation. You know, a lot of people were incredibly anxious. And so I think, like, for a lot of people, they fell back into it. And what we're seeing is that a ton of people have overdosed over the last year. I mean, the CDC hasn't put out the full numbers for the last year, but I mean, here in New York, we had about 500 people OD just in August of last year. It's getting insane. I mean, more people die of overdoses in New York City than from violent crime or car accidents. So it's really about as bad as a social problem can be. So I think that we really need to figure out a way that we can just keep people alive. And, you know, that's exactly what these types of centers do.
Yeah, that's a scary stat right there. And honestly, you know, I mean, I totally understand, because my thing is, like, I agree with the whole situation, but there may be some people out there that don't, you know, specifically agree with the fact that people can just safely inject themselves and stuff like that. But what is this, you know, is there any way, any words you guys could give to maybe, like, persuade their, you know, opinion, I guess?
For sure. I mean, not every single person is obviously going to agree with a harm reduction approach in practice. And I mean, you know, what a lot of people say about these centers is that it's encouraging heroin use for whatever reason. And, you know, the data, I mean, these sites exist all over the world, right? There's over 100 of them in cities across the world. And so, yeah. I mean, we do actually have data on how a lot of these sites work, and you're not seeing spikes in use if that's what people are worried about. And, like, ultimately what's killing a lot of people right now is not just overdosing on heroin itself, it's the stuff that the heroin is cut with. And so what we're seeing right now, particularly in New York City, is that there's fentanyl in basically all powder drugs right now. And so if you're a cocaine user, you might not know that there's fentanyl in the cocaine now. And so really what these different prevention centers really do is they give people an opportunity to also test their bag, not just have safe use and be able to be revived if something bad does happen, but they are already knowing what it is that they're putting into their body. And, you know, frankly, a lot of people don't. 2/3 of heroin deaths in New York, I think it was 2 years ago, was because of the fentanyl in the heroin. So I think that the issue is a lot more complex than people want to think about, just in terms of, you know, drug use and if we're condoning drug use or anything like that. And I think that you can actually be neutral about, you know, that issue, the moral issue of it, and think actually about the morals of saving people's lives, because ultimately that's what it is that we're trying to do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and even I know in Massachusetts and everything like that, there's definitely a problem, and the fentanyl problem was huge for a little while as well. You know, we have that meth mile, they call it. But I've seen it since the COVID and everything like that, and it's just ugly. I feel so bad. Like, you can just tell that, you know, it's not really kept up and everything like that. It's sad sight to see, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, you and I went to Catholic school, you know, I mean, I think that, like, to a great extent. Like, it's really just you just have to take care of people. And I mean, when you are seeing a social problem that is just this bad, I think it's silly to think that doing the same thing that we're doing right now is going to make it any better. I mean, I think that we really do just need to, and look, like, what we're arguing for here is a pilot program. We're looking to see these, like, actual sites being studied in America for the first time. Like, people who say, well, we don't have the data, we don't know what these things are going to do in terms of impact. Well, we're just saying, let's find out, because, like, this right now, what we're doing to fight heroin in our cities is not working. And so we need to do something that is different. And this is radically different, but it is radically different in a way where, at the very least, we know we're going to save lives. Nobody has ever died inside of an overdose prevention center in the over 100 that there are around the globe. And so, you know, I think that it's got a really proven track record. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to start using heroin or think that heroin's any safer from having these places. And in fact, I think it's sending a very clear message that this is a really, really dangerous thing, but it's something that we do need to treat as a public health crisis and not as something that, you know, we need to use a criminal justice system around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, totally. Like you said, I mean, these are people's lives right here. It's crazy to, yeah, some people they'll turn a cheek, which is insane to me. You know, they just think they see everybody, and they just think it's a lost cause. And it really is sad. You know, there's definitely a problem. I mean, the homelessness problem alone, but then the whole drugs and all that. You know? Yeah, I wish there was a place where, you know, it would have been a lot easier to get in contact with these people during the pandemic, because it seems like there wasn't enough. You know.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think that's a really good point, J-Bone, because these sites are also meant to be a place where people can obtain social resources that they might not have known about. I mean, what a lot of people want to say with heroin use is, well, these people need to get clean, these people need to do X, Y, and Z. And this is also a centralized hub for people to access those types of resources, like treatment, like temporary housing, you know, food vouchers, stuff like that. And so I think having, like, a social services hub is just as important as, you know, the fact that it's a place where people will be able to be safe and not lose their life because of the drugs that they're using. It's also a place where people can actually access care and resources to get back on their feet, because ultimately that's what it is that we really want. You know, I mean, what we want is people to be rehabilitated. For some people, that might not mean quitting drugs right away. For some people, but you just need to get on your feet, and that's what we really need to be focusing on, as opposed to, you know, incarcerating people.
Yeah, exactly. And you one of your best friends passed away, correct?
Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah, my best friend Eli died of a heroin overdose in 2016, and my good friend Mark died of a heroin overdose in 2018. And that one hurt. I mean, you know, Mark and I were going to Survivor's support group because we had lost Eli, and I actually had no idea that Mark was using it all, man. And it's terrible. And, you know, it's unfortunate that so many people really have the same story. You know, it's not like any, like, this is like something that's,
yeah, it's not
alien to people, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it seems like, you know, like, at least from my perspective and the friends I've had, is, you know, a lot of people get clean, and then the minute they go back, that one hit, it's just too much for them, and they overdose.
Yeah, I mean, people just go back to using what they used to use,
like, yeah,
is the thing. So their bodies just don't have that same tolerance, you know, and so it can just, like, break you down. And I think getting clean is a really tricky process. And I don't think, and, you know, if you talk to a lot of people that have been through recovery, one of the first things I'll tell you is that, like, they're not recovered. They're just abstaining from what it is that they're using, you know, and they're still addicted to that thing. And I think, honestly, like, as a society, if somebody is going to relapse, which, look, a lot of people who do relapse feel incredibly humiliated by that experience. I think it's something that's, like, incredibly hard to go through. I also think there should be a safe place for the person that might be doing that, because I just think that, you know, drug addiction is such a tricky thing. And, you know, I think that all options should be kind of available for doing this, because, like, I think we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of the war on drugs next week, when Nixon declared that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, dude, I think it's time to admit that we lost, you know. I think that's time to say, okay, the drugs won, what are we going to do in order to, you know, like, because people shouldn't be in prison for using drugs. I mean, that's silly. What we should be doing is we should actually be investing in a society and making a society where people, like, are going to be encouraged to not use drugs and in a way that doesn't risk their lives, their livelihood, as opposed to their lives.
Yep. Yeah, no, completely. Yeah. All right. So, you know, this is a pop culture pod as well.
Hell yeah.
Just to, you know, go back to a little lighter note before we come back to this, especially for Nikki as well, since he is a newcomer. You know, any good movie? I know you guys have been very busy as well. Like, where I know Brian, you have been crazy busy as well. I'm not sure if the same goes for you, Nikki. But, you know, have there been any great movies during the pandemic or television shows that you recommend to the podcast?
We've been rewatching a lot of Curb.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Never
gets old.
Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, we watched through all of the OC, which
was, oh, hell yeah,
a very fun experience.
It totally fucked. It was hell great. Yeah. This is you know, this is a Sandy Cohen household. Yeah, you know, we try to live a Cohen-esque life, you know.
Lots of bagels.
Yeah, lots of bagels.
Oh yeah, so New York.
We really liked Kong versus Zilla. We liked
HBO Max
movie. Yeah, it was great.
You see Mortal Kombat?
Yo, I haven't yet, man.
Pretty well.
It fucks. I love it.
Yeah. J-Bone, I actually want to ask you, what do you think about the new Bachelor hosting news?
Oh yeah, dude, I'm totally in for that. I think that starts up like very soon.
Oh really?
Bachelorette, I'm pretty sure.
Shit.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah, I know. I gotta peep into that. I'm pretty sure it's June. I remember that.
Oh damn. Yeah. Mike Sharon texted me. He's like, yo, David Spade is the host of The Bachelor.
I know. That's a crazy pick, honestly.
Yeah, no, totally out of left field. I think it's gonna be great. You know, I love Dickie Roberts' child star. I think that's a great
totally
movie. It's an overlooked classic.
Oh, I know. I can't see them going back in his past and picking, like, finding anything that was wrong with him, you know? Definitely not David Spade or anything. It's insane. But, yeah, good luck to them, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited for a new season. Is it The Bachelor or The Bachelorette that's coming up?
I think it's Paradise.
Oh, is it Paradise?
Is it Paradise? Oh, man. I thought it was The Bachelorette. I thought they were going to do that girl. I forgot her name who lost. Maybe Katie.
Oh, word. I miss Bachelor in Paradise. I think that, you know, it's
great
television franchises of our time.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if they can do it because of COVID or something like that. But
yeah.
I haven't seen Paradise in a while, I feel like.
Yeah. I wonder what Wells is up to. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah. Last time I seen him, he was on Worst Cooks in America, and he lost to Johnny Bananas.
That is bananas.
Yeah, I know that. Oh, no. Actually, I think Wells made it to the final and then lost to someone else. I forget how it went, but it was something weird.
Anyways,
great pop culture. Me and my girlfriend, actually, we just finished Sex and the City. I don't know if you guys ever seen that.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I've you know, at living in New York and having, you know, dated a lot of New York women. I know just so much by osmosis of that show.
Yeah,
and
just living here and like being on Twitter and
exactly
all that, you just absorb it all without even having to watch the entire show.
It's true. I also canvassed for Cynthia Nixon, so I like to think of more of a Miranda.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, insane. We just finished and everything like that, so her part of the deal was that I watch it all, and I said, only if you'll make a podcast with me later on it. So that episode coming soon.
Oh, sick. Oh, yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character, J-Bone?
I mean, I'm a huge Miranda fan. Just, like, her fashion alone is unbelievable. But,
hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I also have a soft spot for, what's her name? Charlotte.
Charlotte? Oh, yeah.
Just very yuppie. It's wicked funny.
I've definitely like just seen, I've seen probably like 20 episodes of that show just in like no seeming order at all. It seems like a pretty good show. I was actually joking like yesterday to Tommy that I was going to start watching it. So maybe now's the time.
Well, you got to finish Twin Peaks first.
That's true. I do have to
return. I got to start Twin Peaks. Cal's always on me about that.
Yeah. Brad's been Brad chewed through it too. I mean, I've seen the first two seasons. In fact, that's why I haven't got my diploma from college. It's because I never returned the DVDs of Twin Peaks.
That is amazing.
So they're holding my diploma ransom. But so I haven't watched The Return yet. So I've been trying to rewatch the first two to get to The Return. So I'm like midway through season two now.
Oh, man.
Great show. You'll love it, J-Bone. It's right up your alley.
Yeah, I got to cruise through that, honestly. And Sex and the City, it's like a Breaking Bad watch. There's six seasons, six being part A and then part B. And then they have two movies. And the movies alone are 2 hours and 30 minutes, which some of the movies are too long, to be honest with you. That last one was crazy too long.
When did that last one come out?
Dude, so I had to look this up because it was so politically incorrect. I was like, wow, like there's no way this could have lasted that long. And it was 2010, actually, so over a decade.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Yeah, it was wild, dude. I still can't, like, I guess they're going to make a third one. That's why she was like, we need to rewatch this all. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch this.
Sick.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm a huge sucker for those shows eventually anyways. You know, I'm a huge fan of Gossip Girl.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's a travesty that they're going to remake that, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's true. I was at a party recently with somebody who's going to be on that. They told me like, oh yeah, I'm on Gossip Girl. And I was like, oh man, like how many years ago did that end? He's like, no, I'm on the new one.
Oh man, that's so tight. Oh man.
I had no idea that they were remaking Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Good for him. Like I'm pumped for his acting career, but I don't know about that show itself.
Yeah, you know.
There's no way it can live up to the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now that we've got, the pop culture part of the podcast out of the way, let's go back to No OD and NY campaign. So, you know, Ryan, tell us, you pretty much told us what this project means to you. But, Nikki, also tell us what this project means to you.
I also have lost a lot of people to overdose deaths. Eli was one of them. He was very important to me. We met in college at Pratt in the writing program, and he was like kind of one of the first people who kind of really backed me as a writer, I felt, and kind of boosted my confidence in like my own ability as a writer. And so losing him was very difficult. At the time when he died, I was living back in my hometown in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I was a part of the DIY music scene there, and there were often people either struggling with heroin addictions or overdosing and dying. So it's kind of just been something that's been a part of my life, my entire adult life. And it's something I really want to do whatever I can to try to help it.
Yeah, exactly. So this march is happening July 1st, correct?
Yeah, so yeah. July 1st, we leave from Brooklyn. We're going to be doing a big news conference on the steps of City Hall. And then from there, we're going to be walking up. We're going to get to New Paltz on July 5th, and we're going to get up to Albany on July 10th. So then from there, we're going to make our way through Western New York to Buffalo. So we'll get into Buffalo on July 30th. And it's going to basically take the whole month. It's going to be 20 something miles a day, basically. It's going to be a real trek.
Yeah. So also just remind people like what the donations go towards, because like you did say, it's going to be, a lot physically on your bodies and everything like that. So.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I think we're like what we are using the funds toward is, you know, like renting a van so that we can like have gear and stuff like that that's going to be traveling with us, as well as you know, the folks that are going to be helping out with press and just kind of the like day-to-day stuff of like, you know, doing multiple press conferences, getting events set up and everything. And then it's going to be going towards gear, you know, having like food, you know, kind of the essentials, gas, sunscreen, and sunscreen,
bug spray.
Yeah. You know, so it's going to all of that. And, you know, I mean, there's also a couple of other different ways people can donate. So we have like the GoFundMe, where we are halfway to our $20,000, but we'll also be having smaller events throughout the rest of the month. We've got a poetry marathon that's going to be on June 17th. That's going to be from 8 to 11 p.m. And we've got some really, really incredible poets that are going to be on that. And we've also got a panel that we're doing with kind of all of the organizations that are working on this, as well as the public advocate of New York City. His name's Jamani Williams. And so that's going to be a really great event. We've got some shows that are in the mix that will be hosted on Zoom. We're going to have some really great talent performing. And we also have a telethon upcoming, which will be streamed on your favorite streaming platforms. And we will be interviewing guests. There will be performances, kind of the whole shebang. I'll break out my great rendition of New York, New York by Sinatra.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be a good time. So all of those different events you can find out about through our social media channels. Everything, the handle is NoODNY campaign. And watch out for a TikTok, which is coming soon too.
Oh man, I love it, dude, because one of the podcasts that we had, I had you, Brad, and Sean on there. And Brad had just signed up for a TikTok because he was interested in some of the videos on there. And one of the questions I asked him when he returned this season of the pod was, did he ever end up making a TikTok? And his answer was sadly no.
Ah, well, I will rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
Where Brad could not, we can.
So. I love it.
It's going to be great. There's going to be a lot of great walking content.
Yeah.
You know, there's
a lot of great walking songs.
Yeah. There's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, so also, I know you just mentioned, like, a whole bunch of dates and everything. This podcast itself actually doesn't air date until June 19th, 21. But, you know, I know the GoFundMe will still be going on and everything like that.
Yeah,
but after the actual event, is there any way we can still continue to donate? Or?
Yeah, for sure. So that GoFundMe will be up until probably the end of this month. And then we'll be having places like PayPal and Venmo that people can donate to while we're on the road. And yeah, I mean, people should just kind of keep up with what we're doing, you know, on those social media channels. There's going to be a lot of content just in terms of like, you know, we're going to be having a lot of events like Narcan trainings where people can learn, you know, how to medically revive people who have overdosed. There's going to be press conferences with elected officials and politicians from all over the state of New York. And, you know, there's also going to be, you know, performances. I'm going to be doing some like Instagram lives with some other folks that, you know, work in the field. So we've got some really great stuff brewing, and people can kind of keep up with where we're going, because it's going to be 30 days of us just kind of wandering around working on this. And so there's going to be a lot of great stuff to check out. So, you know, just follow along with us. And if you do find yourself, you know, near, you know, Albany is not that far from Western Mass. So if you do find yourself out here and feel like you want to go for a walk for a couple of days, you know, people can always join us.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm going to do my best to also on Twitter, like I plugged before, JPod Bonecast, you know, retweet and all that and post, you know, dates, but also my personal account as well, JBone91. Follow that on Twitter and Instagram, and I'll repost as well. Before I give out the digital download code, is there anything that either one of you would like to plug for the future or anything coming up?
I feel like we just plugged like
everything. Yeah.
You know, donate, share. We need all the help that we can.
Yeah.
And you know, it's gonna be a real uphill climb. So we definitely need as much like, you know, financial support as well as, you know, kind of awareness support as possible from people. So, and, you know, all of it goes a really long way. And in order to like get something so radically different from the way that we've been treating this problem in the past, you know, we're going to really need a lot of people's help. And so, you know, every little bit, just kind of spreading the message. If you can't give, you know, tell other people about it. All of that goes so far on a campaign like this. And I think that we got a real chance of getting this done. I mean, I think people are really ready for this to happen. So I think I think this could be the start of something new. And I mean, even if you don't live in New York, you know, Massachusetts is, you know, very much affected by this issue and is also considering implementing this issue. So, you know, look up your local elected representative and see if they support it. And if they don't, you should call them and ask them why.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Ryan, thank you so much for coming back on the
podcast. Thank you so much, J-Bone. It's so much.
Nikki, it's been a pleasure meeting you informally, but I'm sure we're all going to link up soon. This is amazing.
Definitely. All right. Yeah. So now so much. It's been an honor.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Don't worry about it. Definitely come on a future episode as well. And I'm sure Ryan will be on another episode. Lots of feedback on all your episodes, Ryan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so right now I'm going to give out the digital download code for the host. All you have to do is go to universaldigitalcopy.com/thehost and type in this code E77AEXFK7R4R. All right, guys, that's another episode in the books. Thank you so much again for joining me. I hope you have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, J-Bone.
Thank you, J-Bone.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Later.